You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome here to the Packernet Show. Today we delve into the draft's glow, seeking names that will stand stout. Packers' future, that's what we're about.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Please do not forget to check out Fogo Deshone, also known as Fogo. See if you got one in your area. Just check it out, man. Just see if there's one close to you. Within an hour and a half, you know, it's worth it. I'm telling you. Also, don't forget if you decide to go and you want to make a reservation, put in the online reservation section, Fogo 44. Go get you some delicious steaks, tender picanha. Such a fun experience. So clean and upscale and delicious. Makes you feel like a fancy person, you know what I mean? I'm not a fancy guy, but you go into a place like that and it's like, I think I might be somebody, you know what I mean? More steaks, sir? Yes, please. I will have more steak. Anyways, don't forget also, fill out that spreadsheet or the form, not the spreadsheet. We've got a form for you to fill out. You may want to wait until we get closer to the draft, but again, don't wait too long. I understand wanting to be like, okay, I'm going to get the best information. Like we just heard from Gutekunst, he wants more picks, right? So it's like, maybe he wants to trade back in the first round. I mean, it doesn't have to be first, but it could be second, could be third. I don't know. It's just something to think about. He's interested in more picks. Maybe he's lying. It is lying season. I don't know. But I understand wanting to gather more information, but don't wait too long, because if you wait too long, you will be disqualified, and then you can't get a $125 gift card to Fogo. We got two of them going out, so you just got to be second best, and you get first best prize. So the old, if you're not first, you're last thing, wrong. If you're not first or second, you're last in Packernet land. By the way, that song at the beginning, which I genuinely enjoy. It's not just like, oh, that's kind of funny. Dude, that's a good song. We will be finishing that song, playing that song in its entirety at the end of the episode. So if you're into it, hang out. If you think it's stupid, then just don't listen to it and go do something else, because you're not fun anyways. You don't like to party. I get it. It's fine. I don't want to party with you anyways. I'm going to eat steak and listening to good music that a robot made for me. Okay? All right. Today we are doing defensive tackles. I was kind of hoping the robot would talk about some of the other iterations it did, but I'm like, no, this is the one, man. This is the song. I don't care if the words aren't in there. They're in there somewhere. They eventually show up, but it doesn't matter. I love that song so much. I'm walking around the house. Welcome to the Packernet Show. Been doing that all day. Somehow I don't know the words, but something like that. We're doing defensive tackles today. We're going to do the top 10. There's obviously a lot more than 10 that are interesting. But that's about how much time we have to cover. We will consider, you know, after day one of the draft, kind of reassessing and saying, okay, how many do we have less? Maybe kind of digging deeper into some of the other prospects and who they are and who they might be and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like the top 10 should get us through the first day, definitely, maybe the first day one and day two. So, as usual, we are going to start off first and foremost with Dane Brugler's guide. We'll go through that in a minute. I also do have McGinn's thing. He did do defensive tackles. That is done. He also has edge rushers, which we will plan on doing today if I can speed it up here. But for that, usually there's just mostly a lot of scout quotes, which are obviously pretty interesting to hear what scouts have to say about him. It's borderline useless, though, in a way. I mean, it's sometimes interesting. They've got some insights or whatever. But it's useless insofar as almost every single time you've got a handful of guys that are like, this guy's a stud, and a handful that are like, this guy's a bust. What am I supposed to do with that information, guys? At least get on the same freaking page, will you? But we're going to do it anyways, because we like it. Also, because I'm feeling a little frisky, I might throw in a couple other things. I have a lot of draft guides, and I, you know, might as well put them to use. Just to see if there's any other information. We've got PFF. They've got a pretty in-depth draft guide. And I got the Ringer pulled up. I don't know. I don't want to just go through like strengths and weaknesses. That's kind of less of what I'm interested in. I want to comment on it for those that have no idea. Just kind of the general view. But I mean, everybody can go online and Google strengths and weaknesses. That's not the most important part. But any other insights or whatever is kind of what I'm fishing for. The deeper stuff, you know? But let's go through the top 10 really quickly here. Let me find it. So one of the biggest fallers has been Tavondre Sweat. He's actually at 10. For a long time, he's been around 3. I think even going further back, he might have been closer to 2. I mean, Jerzon Newton was a top dog, and then it was kind of second-roundish prospects. Tavondre Sweat was seen as a high second-round prospect. It's interesting because I just talked about this last night, or two nights ago for you, I believe. But the question was, at what point do you overlook this stuff? And I, you know, my thought on Sweat was, I think he could be a useful player. I'm guessing he's off the Packers board, but let's just thought exercise it. I think he can be a useful player. Would I take him in the second round? Probably not. Right now, and this is pretty universal as I look around, he is 10th on Brugler's board. He is, I think, 7th on McGinn's board. I'm looking at PFF right now, and they show a trend. He absolutely plummeted. Now, we'll get into it, but he had a DUI arrest, and also the there's just been a lot of negative reports about him fitness and the, you know, RAS types to athletics and just generally staying fit, staying healthy. But it's they've got a trend line on PFF that looks kind of like the stock market, you know, with reds being down and greens being up, and it is just the biggest drop. It's like a slight tick down, then another slight tick down, another slight tick down, and then just a plummet. He went from, what, about 75th down to, they have him right now at about 115 over the course of, I don't know, a day. Literally a day. He plummeted from 75th to 115th, roughly. In fact, let me check the consensus big board. I'm just curious. I'm guessing it's a similar trend. I just don't know, because you've got previous data you're aggregating, so it's probably going to shift a little slower, but I'm just curious. So they have the big man, 73rd. He's down 6 spots, but he's had a similar, again, slower trend, because the way that you do this is you aggregate. So over time, you know, as more data comes in and in and in, even if he drops 75 spots, that's going to be weighted against 50 other mocks that had him in the second round. But he kind of, the last time we saw him in a good spot was March 26th here, which is right about what PFF had too. March 26th, he was sitting at about 40th. He was at 40th, actually. Then by March 30th, he was 47th. April 3rd, he was 54th. Then he kind of bottomed out a little bit. April 15th at 62. And then right now he's sitting at 73, and on the consensus board, again, PFF has had him plummet significantly more than that, but I think that we're headed in that direction. Now, again, I'm looking at it going, bro, Tavondre Sweat in the fourth round might be a different conversation, but we'll see how it goes. But anyways, getting ahead of myself a little bit. So the top 10 as it stands right now, Byron Murphy is the only solid first round guy. He has Jerzon Newton as a first to second rounder. Chris Jenkins is a second rounder. Rook Arororo, Mike Hall, and Mason Smith are second to third round guys. Braden Fisk and Brandon Dorlus, third round. Mekhi Wingo, third to fourth. And then Tavondre Sweat would be 10th. He is a fourth round prospect, along with Gabe Hall. So if we have time, which we probably won't, we could talk about Gabe Hall, but also a fourth round guy. So again, this should get us through the first 2 days or so. But why don't we start with Mr. Tavondre Sweat? We'll go in reverse order here. But Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, 6'4", 366 pounds out of Huntsville, Texas. He is 22.8 years old. Went to Huntsville High School. College was the University of Texas. Grew up with his mom, LaShonda Ross. Brothers TJ and Littell also played college football. He started flag football at age 5, tackle football at age 7, played basketball throughout childhood, known for always being the biggest kid in class. He was a 3-star recruit, number 45th defensive tackle nationally, number 74 in Texas for 2019. Committed to Texas to stay close to home. Utilized extra eligibility year from the pandemic. Significant performance improvement in his final year. Strengths, massive build, long arms, big hands, known for his strength and ability to control blockers. Effective at disrupting plays, capable of maintaining position against double teams. Good at batting down passes. Known for a positive demeanor, close relationship with his mother significantly influences him. The negative, struggles with weight management, played around 380 pounds during the 2023 season, needs to improve in pass rush technique and consistency and hand placement, and is viewed early in his career as a party animal. He was recently arrested for a DWI, which raises concerns about his maturity and decision-making. There were no listings of injuries, which is always a positive. The quotes from the scouts are freaking hilarious. I'm just going to read them. Scout 1 says he's incredibly talented. Scout 2 says, Sweat is a dominant player. I don't care what he runs. They just don't block him. He's going to totally control the gaps. Scout 3 says, He's big, lazy, and overweight, but he is very talented. He's got some turd in him, but he's hard to move. Is that like a 75-year-old scout? Who says that? He's big, lazy, and overweight, but he's talented. He's got some turd in him. Well, I mean, probably, but I don't know what that has to do with anything. Okay. Cited by scouts as having top 2-round talent, but character and discipline concerns have significantly impacted his draft stock, currently with a 4th-round grade. He was awarded the Outland Trophy, awarded to college football's best interior defensive lineman, and was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year as a 5th-year senior in 2023, was also a unanimous first-team All-American, finished the season with 45 tackles, 8 for a loss, 2 sacks, 3 QB hits, 31 pressures, and a blocked extra point. 2-year starter at Texas, Sweat was the mountain on the interior of former defensive coordinator Jeff Choate's scheme, known for immature tendencies as an underclassman. Overall, Sweat must continue turning the brilliant flashes into consistency, but he's a rare athlete for his size with the power and ingredients to be a dominant force against the run. Though he has the traits to become an impactful NFL starter, he needs to stay conditioned and lock in to reach his potential. I don't know, man. It's one of those guys where you look at it and go, he might be a stud, but I'd rather him be somebody else's problem. You know what I mean? If I miss, I miss. I remember there was a GM or a scout was talking about that a while ago, about especially character issues. You know, you look at it and you just say, I'm going to sleep well at night, even if he's a good player. It's fine. I'm not going to deal with it. And I kind of feel like that's maybe where we're at, but we'll see. Obviously, we know there's a track record of several teams that don't seem to be bothered by those kinds of things. Packers are generally not one of them, but somebody will snag him probably sooner than the Packers will. As for my thoughts, I mean, I'm tempted to just take the coward's way out and say the Packers won't take him, so I don't need to worry about it. I'm really torn because when I just watch the guy, I begin to understand why I don't want a guy like this. You know, it's always, in theory, it sounds nice. Like, man, we just got that guy who's a great run defender. We got all these pass rushers, and then you get the run defender. It's just great. The problem is you watch him, and you're playing a team, and out of 10 plays, they maybe run the ball twice. So there's 8 plays where they're passing, and he's just useless. He's not doing anything. He can't move. I would much rather have, you know, for our case, Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. Well, they're not that good of run defenders. Right, but they can get to the quarterback. Both of them can, and pretty well, to be honest. Now, there's going to be those 2 plays where it's not going to be as ideal as Tavondre Sweat, but I'm not putting Tavondre Sweat out there for a whole freaking series who can't rush the passer and is just going to... I can't do it. One of the positives, though, is occasionally, first of all, you do see him... I mean, he can throw a guy, right? And he's a little slower getting to the quarterback and whatnot, but... he can occasionally be disruptive. And also, when I went and looked at SIS's stats on him, I mean, PFF stats are putrid. SIS is a little bit more positive with some of their advanced pass rush stats. In fact, let me look at PFF real quick so I can just get kind of an official thought here, make sure I'm not hallucinating, because I'm pretty sure. Let's see. So right off the bat, actually, it's not nearly as bad as I thought. He had 31 pressures on 310 attempts. That's exactly 10%. Now, in college, you would expect better than that. And the sacks are just disgusting. I mean, he has 5 sacks in 5 years. I mean, it's about as bad as you can get. He had 2 this year, which was his best year ever. He's never had more than 1 sack in a season. I mean, look, I'll say this. Second round, no. We get to the third round, let's start having the conversation. We get to the fourth round, I have no idea how it could hurt, other than just wasting a roster spot. You know, it just didn't pan out. But I mean, you know, again, man, you get him down from 370 pounds. If we can get him to, I don't know, can you get down to 340? Can we do that? You get a little bit better movement out of the guy. I feel like he can be a little bit more disruptive. I mean, his grades are fantastic. They really are. I mean, he has a 92 PFF grade, a 92 run defense grade, a 71 tackling grade, even an 85 pass rush grade. So he grades out fine. The stats aren't as bad as I thought. Again, SIS, it's kind of up and down, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like run defense, he's the top guy. Pass rush, he's in the middle of the pack. I don't mind middle of the pack for a run defender. So I don't know. I'm not jumping up and down for Tavondre Sweat. I don't think it's going to be a thing. I think the Packers took him off their board. I'm not super worried about it. But it is one of those things where, again, we get into the third, fourth round, you start to wonder, like, I mean, could they pull the lever? I mean, that's kind of interesting. All right, moving on, because we are just about to break time, and we've got one done so far. So we got to pick up the pace, picante sauce. At number 9 is Mekhi Wingo. Brugler seems to be a little higher than most. McGinn has 12 guys, and Wingo is not on it. It looks like he's 13th, though. He's the next on the list that he's as far as others. PFF has Wingo below Sweat. So, anywho, Mekhi Wingo out of LSU, 6 foot 284, so the exact opposite, out of St. Louis, Missouri, 21 years old, has an older sister, Naima, played peewee football from age 7, engaged in various sports, played the violin for a year. Wow, that's okay. Why would I want to know that? I mean, if he played violin, like, for many years, that's interesting. 4-year varsity letterman, led the team to a 14-0 record. We're talking Desmet Jesuit High School. And a state championship as a junior. Amassed 97 tackles, 29 tackles for a loss, 15 sacks. Senior year included 54 tackles, 16 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks, and a shortened 7-game season. He was the 2020 Gatorade Missouri Player of the Year. He's a 3-star recruit, number 74 defensive lineman nationally, number 8 recruit in Missouri. Had offers from multiple schools, initially committed to Missouri and then transferred to LSU. Some of the strengths: known for violent hands and natural leverage, uses his hips effectively in tackles. Quick off the ball, displays balance and can play on the edge, showing speed to power skills. Exceptional practice habits, recognized with the 2022 Iron Tiger Award at LSU. He was team captain, dedicated to team success, returned from injury to play in LSU's 2023 bowl game. So he's literally the exact opposite as Tavondre Sweat. He's a shorter, smaller, pass rush guy, high character, hard worker. Tavondre Sweat, massively overweight, purely a run defender, not very disciplined. I mean, he's liked, but he's liked because he's the life of the party. Anyways, some of the weaknesses: at 6 foot 284 with shorter arms, struggles against larger blockers and two gapping situations. Now, as a note, the Packers won't be in those situations as much, so possibly could get away with stuff like this. Groin injuries in 2023 required surgery, missed significant time, which meant concern, which might concern NFL teams. Despite disruptive traits, backfield production has been mediocre. Says a groin injury in 2023 season opener, played through pain for 6 weeks before needing surgery. He had a similar surgery in 2022, which affected spring practice availability. So recurring injuries would be really the only red flag. When asked about it, Mekhi Wingo, on returning for the bowl game, he says, "I'm a captain of this team, and I feel like I owe it to these guys." So again, high character guy, sounds like a good dude. Mekhi Wingo, a 2-year starter at LSU and former Missouri player, excels as a 3-technique lineman in even fronts. So that would be us, right? 4-down linemen, 3-technique, or more of the pass rush guys. His agility, quickness, and strength in tight spaces allows him to penetrate effectively, although he struggles against larger opponents. Noted for his leadership and strong work ethic, Wingo projects as a 3rd to 4th round pick, potentially excelling as a rotational player in the NFL. Comparable in style to Clinton McDonald, he represents an explosive, wide-body lineman who can immediately impact as a sub-package rusher, concerns about his size and injury history could affect his draft stock. My thoughts, I mean, I think he lines up pretty well with what you would expect from his size. He's actually an athletic freak. He's really fun to watch, but he's kind of a boom or bust kind of a guy. I mean, he's got athleticism to where I wouldn't be shocked if you could put him on the edge occasionally, you know, in certain packages or whatever. He's got great bend. I mean, if you look at his RAS, I mean, the only thing that's, he's got an 8.78, but it's because his size is very poor at 6'2", 284. His speed grade is elite. His agility grade is elite. His explosion grade is great. So when he does something and it works, it looks great. I mean, he can get around the edge and bend and accelerate, and it just, it looks fantastic. But the problem is most of the time, he can't get past people. I always use the reference of Clay Matthews. I hate to pick on the guy, but, you know, he was a really good pass rusher, but if his pass rush move didn't work, he's just stuck. He's just sitting there. And that, you see that a lot with Wingo. He tries to run through a guy, he tries to run around a guy, and if it doesn't work, he ain't going anywhere. So, you know, if we're talking, again, later round, fourth round, fifth round, and he gets picked up, I don't mind throwing him in the rotation. I think he's a fun, you know, potentially solid athletic pass rusher who's not the worst run defender in the world. I mean, he can get inside, get underneath, and just stand a guy straight up. Not ideal, but he's not inept. So, also a pretty good tackler, which is nice. All right, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We've got eight more to get through, so we got to obviously pick up the pace a little bit. By the way, two things. Number one, if you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/pack_daddy. You can do so for as little as $1 a month. Be greatly appreciated if you appreciate the work I'm doing. And then also, make sure you check out our live stream. So make sure you're subscribed to the Packernet Podcast YouTube channel. Going to be streaming all 3 days. It'll be me and my son. We'll see what else. I mean, Matt Ramage said he wants to pop in. JJ is going to be at the draft. So we're hoping he can send a couple of clips, images, videos, whatever. Clayton and the crew, unfortunately, aren't going to be with us this year, which kind of sucks. We always had a lot of fun, but he's got his own channel now, so he's got to attend to that. I haven't even asked Jake because I know he's got his own channel. I'm sure he's going to be doing his own stream. So kind of sucks. I mean, you know, it's not even a competition thing because I can't compete with half the people. I mean, Cheesehead TV is doing it, I think, for the first year, and Andy Herman's doing it. And obviously, what's his name's doing it, but just from the sake of like, we always had so much fun. It was a good time, but that's all right. We'll have fun. Yeah. So it'll be, me and my son, Cullen. I talked to, my half Mexican attorney. I'm hoping he can show up, and, we'll see what else we got in store here. But again, just make sure you subscribe to the channel so you can come hang out, whether you want to stay the whole time or bounce back and forth between different shows, whatever you want to do. But we'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, next up, we've got at number eight, Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, 6'3", 283 out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 23 years old. He is number 10 on Bob McGinn's list. Another fairly athletic guy with an 8.66 RAS. Brandon Dorlus, referred to as BD, son of Marcine Dorlus, originally from Haiti, and Marcia Jorges Dorlus. He initially focused on basketball during early education at Calvary Christian Academy. His mom did not like football. He did, however, transition to football in high school, influenced by his father to pursue scholarship opportunities, transferred to Deerfield Beach High School for better recruitment exposure. achieved 74 tackles, blah, 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 and earned first-team all-county and all-state honors, contributed to a 12-2 record in the 2018 district championship. He was rated as a three-star recruit, number 55 strong side defensive end, number 109 recruit in Florida for the class of 2019, and garnered 30 FBS offers. He initially committed to Virginia Tech. He decommitted after an official visit to Florida, eventually choosing Oregon, influenced by coach Mario Cristobal. Some of the strengths: athletic build, effective at trimming his frame, quick first step, able to create mismatches with arm overs, good at disengaging quickly, skilled at batting down passes, excels in closing speed, uses length effectively against blockers, consistently holds the point against the run, emerged as the alpha of the Oregon defense. Weaknesses: average knee bend and flexibility, hands lack purpose after initial contact, struggles with change of direction, inconsistent bull rush, can get washed out when pads rise, below average contain range, prone to penalties, particularly late hit infractions. Okay. Some injury issues: underwent off-season shoulder surgery following the 2021 season. Some of the scout quotes: he's a big D end or small D tackle. Second scout said he's really competitive, not really a quick twitch guy when he's on the edge. He's real strong and stout. He can do all that, but the pass rush is not there on the outside. You put him inside and he's better as a pass rusher, but he's not as stout. He might be a 3-4 guy. Somebody like Pittsburgh on the Ravens will play in there and mess things up. And then defensive line coach Tony Tuioti said Dorlus grew into the role of the team's defensive leader, demonstrated significant maturity and leadership. Overall, Brandon Dorlus is a versatile and dynamic defensive lineman with experience across multiple positions on the line, praised for his athletic abilities and tactical use of physical strength. He faces challenges with flexibility and technique refinement. His career at Oregon demonstrates consistent production and adaptability, earning all Pac-12 honors across multiple seasons. Projected to be a third-round pick, Dorlus's natural power and tactical skills position him as a potential asset in a 3-4 and 4-3 defensive scheme with particular effectiveness anticipated in rotational roles. So it sounds like he's kind of one of those tweeners, you know. On the edge, he's not a good enough pass rusher, and on the inside, you worry if he's big enough. But that's a relatively common thing. Those guys exist in the NFL. It's just about finding the right ones and putting them in the right spot, I guess. I'll be honest, man. And listen, this whole process has been a matter of, like, can you see the vision? You know, nobody's a perfect prospect, at least not the guys that I've seen. Maybe because we're picking at 25, I don't know. But I can absolutely get behind Brandon Dorlus. I just watched him throw Fontenu into a running, just grabbed him and threw him like a little doll into the running back. I mean, this guy, for being a smaller guy, it's weird because he plays like kind of a bigger guy. He doesn't run very well. I don't really want him on the edge. He does tend to get stuck occasionally, blah, blah, blah. But he's got some really rare pop. I mean, he kind of fits into a category of guys that I've become accustomed to, the 285, 290 pound, maybe that's a little much, guys, but they're kind of stiff, but they've just got this level of power to them that is admirable. And occasionally you see it with him and it's like, oh my good Lord. So, you know, look, defensive tackle is not my favorite position for the Packers, especially a pass rushing one, although obviously that's most important, but you want to see some run defense, whatever. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's a fun and interesting guy to watch. I kind of like Brandon Dorlus. Next up, we got Braden Fisk. He's actually seen a surge. If you look at the PFF trends, he was down in the 90s for a long time through about February. He took a big jump early February up to about the 55-ish range. And then early March, he jumped up to about the 45-ish range, where he's been kind of hovering ever since. Took a slight dip, you know, this past day or so, but kind of hovering in that range. So actually quite a bit. So he's 7th for Brugler. He's number 5 defensive tackle for McGinn. So a little bit higher, and the feeling on him, I guess, is certainly improving. But Braden Fisk from Michigan City, Indiana, went to Michigan City High School. He is 24.27 years old, which obviously isn't great. 6'3.5", 292 pounds, out of Florida State, majoring in sports management. Began playing football at age 6 for Michigan City Pop Warner League, leading to a junior Pee Wee National Championship. 4-year varsity letterman in high school, initially played as an offensive tackle, later moving to guard and occasionally center. Senior year captain, played through a herniated disc, contributing to the school's first 5A sectional championship, also lettered in baseball. He was rated as a 3-star recruit, number 67 guard nationally, and the number 18 recruit in Indiana. Received scholarship offers from Western Michigan and Illinois State, committing to Western Michigan in 2017. He chose Florida State for his 6th season over offers from Penn State, Rutgers, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Florida, LSU, and Ole Miss after the Western Michigan coaching staff was dismissed. Strengths: NFL-ready physique with wide, heavy frame and excellent quickness. Effective bull rusher, adept at creating vertical displacement and pressing the pocket. Excellent read on screens, formidable run defender, highly praised for competitiveness and motor by teammates, notably by Jared Verse. Voted top defensive lineman for the 2024 Senior Bowl practice. Weaknesses: below average arm length, leading to leverage issues against blockers. Lacks advanced rush plan coherence, leading to balance issues. Concerns over durability, given the history of shoulder and back injuries. Older age, 24, for a draft prospect could be a concern. Speaking of injuries, herniated disc during high school, required a shoulder cleanup procedure after the 2022 season. Limited during spring practice at Florida State in 2023 due to nagging injuries. Quotes vaguely referenced before: Jared Verse says, "He's one of the only people I've met who can meet my intensity." Some of the quotes from scouts: "I like him way more this year than what I saw last year. He took the money and improved his stock. He's the guy, he's the one guy that won the process over in the spring. People fell in love with the workout. I think he'll get overdrafted in the second round. He'll be a great pick in the third. He's a determined, relentless athlete. His father's a steel worker. His mom is blue collar. He's effing determined to win. Everybody talks about Jared Verse, but this guy has more of a motor than Verse. He challenges Verse every day at practice to be great. This kid is a winner." So you can see, like, some people are super fired up about this guy. "I could watch his film all day long. You talk about passion. The negative is, hey, where'd he come from? He's a transfer guy from the MAC, so he's a little bit late to the scene. I think this guy is destined for the first round." Whoo, baby. Another scout says, "We sit in meetings and say length, length, length. The guy's got 31-inch arms. You know what you're getting? Meat and potatoes guy. He ran..." Oh, you know what I just thought of? You know what I thought of, didn't you? Trash can full of dirt? I'm just saying. "He's a meat and potatoes guy. He ran fast. I'm not as high on him as maybe the league." And then finally, "Now he's a little older. We'll be 25 in January and has an injury history, so you've got to take that into account. But he fits bottom of the first." Jeez. "You could compare him to Kyle Williams because of his size and movement and angles and twisting the body and hand use. But this guy was more explosive than Kyle Williams. His weren't manufactured workout numbers. You see the explosiveness on film." Overall, it says Braden Fisk is a determined and aggressive defensive lineman with significant college football experience at both Western Michigan and Florida State. His physicality, motor, and ability to perform against high-level competition are evident. While his arm length and past injuries might concern some teams, his proven track record of improving and adapting at higher levels of play make him an appealing prospect for teams looking for rotational three-technique linemen in the NFL. Projected to be picked in the third round of the NFL draft." Obviously, it depends who you ask. My thoughts: Braden Fisk is, I think he's really intriguing, but I'm torn when you look at 24 years old, injury history, and all that stuff. But you talk about a guy that really carries his weight. I mean, he is pushing 300 pounds, and I don't want to say he moves like a linebacker, but I mean, compared to some of the linebackers I watched, he kind of does. He is really fast off the line. I mean, he can move, man. He really can. He ran a 4.78 40, which I know is not everything, but I mean, the 20-yard, the 10-yard split, his short shuttle was incredible. His explosion grades are elite. I mean, everything is just across the board phenomenal. Is he worth a first-round pick? 100% no. Second-round pick is questionable. Again, largely based on, I mean, I'm watching a game and he's playing in a cast. With him being up in age and whatnot, it's a little bit questionable, but certainly after that, I think you're in the conversation. And it's not just the pass rush. I mean, he's getting double teamed all day because he's the guy on the defensive line, or at least, you know, the interior. And he's handling it, man. I mean, he just gets into his sprawl stance and he can hold it off. So there's definitely reason to be intrigued by Braden Fisk. Next up, we got Mason Smith out of LSU, 6'5", 306, Houma, Louisiana. His nickname is Tuca. Grew up 60 miles southwest of New Orleans. Mother is Cara Morgan. She's a doctor who received her medical degree from LSU School of Medicine. Practices general family medicine in Jackson, Mississippi. Father is Malcolm Smith, formerly owned a company in the oil industry, retired in 2021. Stepmother is Jackie, a realtor in Houma. Mason is the middle child of three. He was involved in sports during childhood, basketball, soccer, and football, starting at age six. Began football training in Ernst Turk Harvey in middle school. High school, he attended Terrebonne High School, playing varsity football as a freshman. Key stats and achievements. He helped his team win 11 games as a sophomore with notable defensive stats. All-American honor senior year despite a pandemic-shortened season. Also played offensive tackle and was homecoming king senior year. I mean, let me just fast forward here. This is the guy who's been the best at everything. He grew up in, let's call it what it is, a pretty privileged family. Lots of money. He was the best football player. He was the best at everything. He was a five-star recruit. And starting like last year, he was a consensus first-round pick. Now, he has plummeted, but I mean, that's just sort of who this guy is. Homecoming king. Five-star recruit, ranked number five among defensive linemen, number one in Louisiana, number 20 nationally in 2021. So he was the number 20 overall prospect. He received first FBS offers from Louisiana and Southern Miss post-freshman year. Received offers from nearly every SEC program and top schools like Florida State, Michigan, and USC during his sophomore year. Committed to LSU on signing day, choosing them over Alabama, Georgia, and Miami. Last top recruit for Coach Ed Orgeron. Strengths: excellent size with proportional thickness and long frame. Uses his length and upper body strength effectively against blockers. Demonstrates strong base and balance, difficult to displace. Displays explosive power at the snap, can effectively bull rush. Versatile movement skills, showing quick lateral and linear motion. Hand strength generates significant impact in pass rush. Effective use of violent hand motion, swipes and clubs to open rush lanes. Shows good body control through gaps and tackling. Rarely misses tackles. Versatile enough for various defensive schemes. Weaknesses: tends to stand up too quickly, showing some stiffness. Inconsistent in adjusting leverage against blockers. Rush approach lacks refinement and cohesion. Missed significant play time due to injuries affecting technical growth. Needs to show better urgency and sustained effort. Missed 2023 season opener due to NCAA suspension. Suffered a significant ACL injury in 2022, which required surgery. His NCAA suspension was for improper benefit in 2023. And then again, in 2022, the season opener, he had a torn ACL, which was a season ender. Some of the quotes: he's just got traits you can't teach, one scout noted, comparing him to Chris Jones, but also highlighting his rawness. Should have probably stayed in school, another scout remarked, pointing out struggles post-injury. Third scout emphasized his high-quality upbringing and natural talent. He doesn't play with passion, says the final scout. Mason Smith, a one-year starter at LSU, showcased potential as a true freshman, but faced setbacks due to ACL injury and coaching changes. His large frame and agility make him a coveted prospect. Fits best with a team willing to develop his unique attributes, projecting him in the second to third round. NFL teams value his size and potential, but he needs maturing in a stable and patient coaching environment. At number five, we have Mike Hall out of Ohio State, 6'2.5", 299, from Streetsboro, Ohio, 20.87 years old. Another guy that has plummeted pretty severely. He was, for a very long time, we're talking kind of at the start of the college football season last year, late first, early second round consensus, immediately plummeted starting, you know, mid-August, and has slowly trended downward. Had a little bit of an uptick around February and is kind of settled right now around 100th overall. But Michael Mike Hall, youngest of two boys, his son Michael III was born September 2023, started playing football at age six in inner city Cleveland. Began his prep career in Benedictine High School in East Cleveland, moved to Streetsboro High School during his sophomore year due to family relocation, where he started on both the offensive and defensive lines. Breakout season in 2019 with All-State honors. Senior year, he was All-State and Division III Defensive Player of the Year. He's a four-star recruit and the number 10 defensive lineman in the 2021 recruiting class. Received his first scholarship offer from Kentucky in 2019. Received offers from top programs, including Alabama, Florida State, and Penn State, but committed to Ohio State. He cited it as his dream school and an opportunity to work with renowned defensive line coach Larry Johnson for his reason for going there. Strengths: excellent initial quickness and snap timing, employs a variety of effective moves, strong awareness in the run game, utilizes his long arms and strength to maintain leverage and control, noted for his high energy and effort on the field. Weaknesses: considered lean and potentially undersized, struggles with base strength at times, occasional lapses in tackling technique, has dealt with several nagging injuries, which we will get to. Let's see, he missed games during his senior year due to a broken hand in high school. In college, he missed games in both 2022 and 2023 seasons due to various injuries, including a hamstring issue that prevented him from working out at the combine. A couple of different quotes. We've got, with his talent, I bet he would have been a first-round center if he would have stayed on offense. That's an interesting note. Another says, I'd like to see him shed some weight and be a 265-pound linebacker. So nobody wants him to play defensive tackle, apparently. Another raw athlete that just is not quite where he needs to be. He did accumulate multiple personal foul penalties, including roughing the passer. So that's one of the red flags about him. Overall summary, played primarily at 1-3 technique at Ohio State's four-man front, showing flashes of brilliance but inconsistent production. Likely a second or third round pick in the draft, has the tools and potential to be an effective rotational player and possibly a starter with further development and health maintenance. Best suited as a three technique tackle in a four-man front where his quickness and energy can be utilized in disrupting the backfield. So there's a lot of those. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at right now. There's just a ton of those types of players. All right. Boy, we got to do... No, you know what? I think we're good. Let's take a break and we'll do the final four on the other side. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Next up, we've got Rook Orororo, number 4 on Dane Brugler's list. Bob McGinn has him actually at number 9. Let's see, PFF has Jerzon Murphy, Fisk, Jenkins, Dorlus, so 6th. They do have Dorlus higher, which I appreciate. Like I said, I like that guy. Anywho, full name is Ogen Erukevwe Orororo, also known as Rook Orororo. He was born in Lagos, Nigeria. By the way, Clemson 6'4", 294, 22 and a half years old. But he's the youngest of 7 children, moved to Birmingham, England at age 2, lost his mother at age 6, subsequently moved to the Detroit area, USA, at age 9 with his father. 3 cousins with high-level football experience, including Michael Ojemudia, who probably said his name wrong, but I do know that guy, Mario Ojemudia, both of those guys are or were in the NFL, and Ovi Ogofu, who is a 2024 NFL draft prospect. Early education was at Trillium Academy, transferred to River Rouge High School, excelled in basketball, averaging a double-double, and shifted to football in sophomore year. I don't even know what a double-double is. I don't even know what that means. Graduated high school early with a 3.8 GPA, obtained a degree in sociology from Clemson in 3 years, played basketball throughout middle school and part of high school, started football junior year of high school, initially played wide receiver and tight end, then linebacker, and finally defensive line. He was a 3-star recruit, ranked number 48 strong side defensive end and number 18 in Michigan for 2019. Offers from MAC programs initially, followed by major programs like Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. Chose Clemson for its family atmosphere and familiarity from NCAA football video game. That's funny. Strengths: highly athletic for his size, demonstrated by combine and pro day performances. Played multiple positions on the defensive line from nose tackle to outside tackle. Long arms and compact build allowed for effective engagement with opponents. Continuous improvement in technique and understanding of the game, showing significant development. Known as a team leader and best trash talker, noted for applying coaching well. I like that whole last part there. Weaknesses: needs to expand his repertoire of pass rush. Struggles against double teams. Right knee injury in 2020. Meniscus damage. He missed 8 games. 2023 underwent shoulder surgery and missed spring practices. Overall, Rook Orororo, a latecomer to football, has showcased rapid development and versatility on Clemson's defensive line. Despite starting football in his junior year of high school, he emerged as a significant contributor at Clemson, playing various positions along the defensive line. His ability to adapt and improve each season, combined with his physical attributes and leadership qualities, position him as a promising prospect with NFL starting potential. While he needs further refinement in technique and consistency, his inherent athleticism and versatility make him an attractive draft prospect projected in the second or third round. All right, cruising right along here. I know I'm leaving out my thoughts, but I just, we got to fly here. It's getting late and I got two more podcasts to record. But another guy that's seen some plummeting as far as the trends are concerned, he at one point was late first round, kind of in the 20s, early 20s. He is now kind of settled around the 50s and 60s, so second round prospect. But Chris Jenkins, Michigan, 6'2.5", 299, out of Olney, Maryland, Our Lady of Good Counsel High School, 22.5 years old. Father Chris Jenkins Sr., former NFL player of the Carolina Panthers and the New York Jets. His mom, Shadika Deloach, had shared custody with Chris Sr. His uncle, Cullen Jenkins, former NFL player, won Super Bowl XLV with the Green Bay Packers. Of course, y'all know Cullen Jenkins. Grew up in Maryland, also spent time in North Carolina and New Jersey following his father's NFL career. Three-year varsity letterman at tight end and defensive end at Our Lady of Good Counsel Catholic High School. Earned first-team All-Metro and All-Conference as a senior captain, helped team to a 9-3 record in the 2019 Conference Championship. Rated as a three-star recruit, the number 21 strong side defensive end in 2020, received offers from several schools, including Rutgers, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State, North Carolina, Northwestern, Penn State, but committed to Michigan in July of 2019. Strengths, stout, compact body type with evenly distributed bulk, excellent body control and finishing power. Plays square against the run, able to leverage single blocks effectively. High effort player, jovial nature, voted team captain in 2023, consistent game starter over the last two seasons. Raised in a football-oriented family, giving him a profound understanding of professional football dynamics. Weaknesses, not very broad, lacks ideal length, struggled against double teams, inconsistent rush plan, negative reps, often due to high pad level. Lacks effective move-to-move transition, battled an eye infection during the 2023 season, which affected his performance, below average backfield production throughout his college career. Also had, in his 2023 pro day, limited participation due to tightness in his left Achilles. It's about it. Not really sure about the eye infection thing. I'm guessing that's completely done with, so I don't think that's a long-term deal as far as vision impairment. Overall, two-year starter at Michigan, primarily over the B gap, made significant locker room impacts, evidenced by leadership roles and consistent effort. Projects as an NFL starter, either as a one-gapping tackle or on the interior, or a two-gapping strong-side defensive end, thanks to his physical handling and foundational skills. Second round, number 36 overall, is where he is currently seated. I'm guessing that's Dane Brugler, as an interior defensive lineman, noted for relentless motor and football IQ, despite some physical and technical shortcomings. So I've highlighted this, and many other people have as well, as far as Michigan. It would make sense if Gutekunst is kind of targeting. There's several guys from Michigan. I'm looking more so at the linebacker, but Chris Jenkins would also make sense. I mean, you're talking about a good guy, football family, high IQ, great defensive culture and program. I mean, it would make sense. But now we're getting into the final two, the big dogs. Really, really exciting prospects, starting with Jerzon Newton at number 2 out of Illinois. 6'1.5", 304, St. Petersburg, Florida. Went to Clearwater Central, 21.65 years old. Definitely a big fan of Jerzon Newton. I'll just say, would have no issues if we ended up drafting the guy. But it's Jerzon or Johnny Newton. Not Jerzon, Jerzon. Whatever. But Jerzon Johnny Newton, who's the fourth of five boys. He has a daughter, Jovian, born November 17th, 2022. He has twin older brothers, Jervon and Jerquan. Come on. Jerzon, Jervon, and Jerquan. He has a younger brother named Jershon. Come on. And a brother named Jerwan. Bro, hold up. Jerwan, Jervon, Jerquan, Jerzon and Jerzon. Jerzon. Shut up! That's crazy, man. But anyways, let's go through this, because this is going to be a very confusing time if these guys end up all becoming popular known quantities. Potential NFL players. So he's a fourth of five boys. He's got his daughter, beautiful name, Jovian. Twin older brothers, Jervon and Jerquan, playing Division II West Florida and later Mars Hill, okay? Older brother, Jerwan, is a wide receiver at Toledo, and his younger brother, Gershon, is a quarterback prospect in the 2025 class. So Gershon might be going to Green Bay, I'm just saying. But played at Clearwater Central Catholic High School, played alongside his three older brothers, participated in football and basketball. He was, in his senior year, All-American and led the team to 10 wins. He was ranked as a three-star recruit, number 51 strong side defensive end, number 138 in Florida. Received offers from multiple schools, including Boston College, Florida, West Virginia, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Miami. Committed to Maryland, but flipped to Illinois on signing day under coach Lovie Smith. He had first-team All-American 2023, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year in 2023, and multiple All-Big Ten selections. Strengths: explosive athleticism and quick off the snap, strong pass rush ability, skilled in leveraging gaps. High football IQ, reads plays well and effectively communicates pre-snap. Durable, high stamina, played significant snaps, rarely off the field, strong leadership, served as a team captain. Weaknesses: below average arm length and body width, sometimes struggles against long arm blockers, tendency to be over aggressive, not a problem for me, leading to penalties like targeting, also not necessarily a problem with me. Played with injuries, including a significant foot issue during the 2023 season where he had a Jones fracture. He suffered a partial Jones fracture near the end of the 2023 season, underwent surgery in January of 2024. He was also ejected for targeting in a game against Wisconsin in 2023. Listen, I'm not saying targeting is a good thing. I'm just saying if you're gonna suck at something, suck at being too aggressive. You know what I mean? It's like one of the, you tell me about your weaknesses, I care too much kind of thing. You know what I mean? Johnny Newton, this is a summary. Johnny Newton has established himself as a force on the defensive line through his relentless pursuit and ability to disrupt both the pass and run games. His lower-than-ideal dimensions have not deterred his impact on the collegiate level, where he has been recognized repeatedly for his contributions and leadership. His knack for penetrating the backfield, careful, and creating havoc makes him, likely early pick in the draft, potentially as a starting three technique in the NFL. Just got to finish this last sentence here. Despite physical limitations and recent foot surgery, Newton's proven resilience and football acumen suggests we will adapt and continue to excel at the professional level. NFL draft projection, first, second round, currently ranked number 28 overall. I don't know why that's never struck me as funny before in a very juvenile kind of way. I don't know. Never noticed. All right, let's get to our last guy here and get the heck out of here, man. We got stuff to do. Hey, yo. Byron Murphy II out of Texas, 6'2", 297 from DeSoto, Texas, 21.63 years old. He's born and raised in DeSoto, third of four boys introduced to football by his father, Byron Sr., a former high school standout at age five. Excelled in football and basketball during childhood, named Offensive Player of the Year in middle school, transitioned from linebacker to defensive lineman in high school due to his successful blitz package. He achieved 98 tackles, 12 tackles for a loss, 8 sacks, and 4 forced fumbles as a junior. He broke Von Miller's single-season sack record at DeSoto High School with 14 sacks as a senior and earned first-team All-State honors. That's a heck of an accomplishment. He received his associate's degree from Dallas College before enrolling at Texas. He was a 4-star recruit, initially committed to Baylor under coach Dave Aranda, but flipped to Texas. Later in the season, stayed committed after a coach change to Steve Sarkisian. Notable offers included Georgia, Colorado, and SMU, among others. Some of his strengths: explosive first step and powerful punch. Uses these attributes to disrupt plays and pressure quarterbacks. He's versatile, played multiple positions on the line, excelling in interior spots. Excellent lateral agility and hand usage makes him effective in both pass rush and run defense. Strong performance in the combine, showcasing top percentile speed and agility for his position. Some of the weaknesses: lacks ideal height and arm length, which could affect his ability to engage and disengage with taller offensive linemen. Over-aggressiveness may lead to missed plays or being trapped by smart offensive schemes. It's so funny that essentially there's like two weaknesses that were highlighted, and both of them are like, well, technically it could be a problem. Not that we've seen a problem, but it could be. Some of the quotes, comparison to Justin Madubuike, says explosive high-energy pass rusher who creates havoc on the interior line. He's built kind of like Grady Jarrett, really explosive and has good hands. He can play three technique or nose, can two-gap if you need him, as good a motor as you'll see on an interior player. Overall, Byron Murphy II is a dynamic and powerful interior defensive lineman who can immediately contribute to an NFL team. Despite concerns about his size, his agility, motor, and technique make him a likely first-round pick. His ability to perform well in both pass rush and run defense, combined with his leadership qualities, positions him as a valuable asset for any defensive line. Murphy's collegiate success, highlighted by his dominance against top competition and his impressive combine performance, underscores his readiness for the professional level. All right, folks, that's it. That is the top 10 defensive tackles, as told by Mr., well, not Bob McGinn necessarily. Top 10 according to Dane Brugler. I got to get out of here because I got we got to do edge rushers and hopefully sneak into Packernet after dark. So you guys have a good rest of your day, night, whatever. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Let's break it down, the tackles and might.